4, DJW, this is KJ4, YQK.
KJ4YQK, W4DJW, you just caught me. I was about to get up and go get on the elliptical. Good morning. How are you?
Stayed up late last night, 10 meters wide open worldwide. I'm waiting for China and Korea. I'm going to try those guys again today.
I've been able to get China pretty easy, and South Korea, not North Korea, and India, Indonesia. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just wild. And it's not just limited to 10 meters. You can do it on 12 meters. You can do it on 17 meters, 15 meters. I haven't tried 20 meters yet. There's no need to go there. 20 meters is always open. 10 meters and 40 meters. I've been getting Japan stations on 40 meters pretty regularly. So, yeah, it's pretty wild out there.
Band out for 15 and 12 to see if I can get that into that part of Asia. So I got a blind spot with my antenna orientation.
Well, I was calling you the other day for something. I can't remember what it was. I'm trying to remember now on the fly, and it's not coming to me, but when it comes to me, I'll ask a question I had for you, but I forgot what it was. You been doing okay?
Okay there. I got a buddy Hex on that'll be arriving next week. That's the buddy Hex Beam and the tripod. So I'll have a nice portable Hex Beam set up.
A portable Hex? Okay, for going camping, right? Yeah. Are you going camping anytime soon? I mean, the weather's starting to shape up for it.
The Selwyn Club in a couple weeks here. The weather's there. So I'll have the Hex Beam. I'll take the Flex 1500 out there, and I'll sit out there on the point on Lake Hartwell.
Is that where you throw a counterpoise in the water?
In the fresh water. I've looked that up. I know you can do that salt water. I'm not sure about fresh water.
Yeah, I know. I've seen posts where people that go down the ocean do that. They'll throw a counterpoise in the ocean and stick the antenna in the sand and transmit all day long. That's got to be fun.
I'm out there. I'm getting ready to start messing with the APRS decoding again. I'm working on that in C#.
Decoding the AFSK or decoding the message that's in AFSK from APRS? Which level are you talking about?
Message there. A bunch of gargly bits in front of the message, and I'm trying to figure out how to parse that correctly.
Well, I figured out how to assemble that message. When you install one of those programs, I think it's Exaster, or it might be Direwolf. It might be one of those two. When you install it, you get a bunch of AFSK utilities. And I use those utilities to assemble an APRS packet from scratch. And then I sent it out over the Raspberry Pi GPIO pin number 4, right? I made it transmit. It's really low. I mean, the signal barely makes it across the room. But making it across the room, it made it into a digipeater that I had running here local. So you could get the Raspberry Pi. I assembled an APRS message, sent it out here local. It only went like 10 feet, right? The digipeater in my house picked it up and sent it on up to the digipeater on the mountain, and then it went out over there, and then it shows up on APRS FI. That's pretty cool.
Direwolf looking at their source there, so they converted over to C# and stuff. I just got to find some more time to get around. But I'm able to read the APRS message and stuff. It's just parsing it correctly, and once I get it parsed correctly, I'll work on the transmit side.
Yeah, when I was assembling one, I found out they don't have, like, delimiters between message parts. It's like different message parts have different lengths, and your program has to know what length it is. And you don't necessarily have to put the same length pieces together. Each one of the pieces can be of different lengths. So you got to figure out what kind of a piece you're getting and then know how long that is. And there are some delimiters, so, and it's not, you know, it's not the same all the time. Sometimes they use delimiters. Sometimes they use length. It's pretty crude. I mean, that was developed, 25 years ago? So it's a really, really crude protocol.
What you do, I think it's the bit code. Yeah, see, which bit code to determine message, I think.
Well, I think it's all ASCII. Once you decode the AFSK, I think it's all ASCII from that point forward. I don't think they use anything like UTF-8 or... I think it's all 2-byte characters. There's no 4-byte. There's no wide characters. They're all ASCII 2. That ASCII table that's got 27 characters in it, I think they all come from that.
The character that indicates what kind of message it is?
It's one of those that's down below 7. Those are control characters. So, like, if you try to print one of those on the screen, it's like a Control D or Control Z or Control C or something like that. That's the characters they use. It's still valid ASCII, but it's not ASCII that displays on a TTY terminal.
That I'm getting that are coming up as garbage bits on me on the computer monitor. That I have to learn to decipher, figure out what type of message it is in order to do it correctly.
Yeah, that's why I chose assembling before I chose disassembling. Assembling's a lot easier than disassembling.
Keeps up in front of the message, and they're different. it's like you can go off when you go this mile space in the string, then parts of the call sign. You have to look at the codes first. So that's where I'm at right there. Exactly the problem I'm running into.
And you're starting from scratch, or you're looking while looking at Direwolf or NC Sharp.
I'm stretching. I'm looking at Direwolf in desperation, trying to figure it out.
Okay, I get it. I never did go look at another library. I just looked at the specs, the RFC specs on it, and did what it said to do, and it worked. It transmitted anyway. It made it from the Raspberry Pi pin to the gateway here local to the gateway on the mountain out to the APRS FI database successfully. So I figured it had to be a valid packet to go through all those systems.
Take more close attention to the fact. When I get back around to it, I'll probably dig into a good solid week when I'm not distracted. I have to get into that zone of focus to be able to figure things out.
Well, how's work going? Keeping you busy?
I'm in upgrading software to new versions, and I ran into where a person does the web API calls, the web references, incorrectly, where they're using the DLL from the local machine, and it was causing problems with the upgrade, so that took a good 2 to figure out what they did wrong. Have that fixed, and next week I'll be patching that site, and they'll give me another site to do.
So you still got plenty of work to do. Any vision of retirement on the horizon?
I'm aiming for HVC. I got 3 more years to go. I am financially just waiting for the time.
Well, that's not too bad. That'll go by pretty quick. I wish I could remember what it was I was trying to call you about, but it'll come to me after I quit talking.
Yes, Flex Radio, the 6400.
Wasn't APRS, it wasn't Flex. I've been using the Hermes, though, with the Juma. I've been running 5 watts on the Hermes. 10 watt. It's maximum 10 watt capable output. And then putting that into the Juma PA100D and pumping it up from 5 watts to 20 watts. And then if I have to really push hard, I push it up to 30 watts. But try not to go above 30 watts because that second order IMD is hard to control once you go above that. But that's for PSK and got FT8 working. And I remember what it is now. Yeah. So when I'm on FT8 and I'm at like for 17 meters, I'm at 18100. I look down there at 1897 where PSK is, and I see tons of communication going on every 15 seconds, kind of like FT8. Like you got 15 seconds on, 15 seconds off. Not like FT4 where it does 7.5 seconds on, 7.5 seconds off. And I was just wondering, what is that? It's not PSK, it's not FT8, it's not FT4. It's not JT9. It's not JT65. Do you know what that is? It's like the 3KC down below where the FT8 transmits. And I looked through all the different band plans. I couldn't find what that is transmitting down there.
JS8. And I thought JS8 was above on 17. I don't do 17 that often, but it does sound like JS8.
Well, 17 is not the only one I see it on. I see it on the other bands, too. It's just like 3KC down below the 3KC that you use for FT8. And I go looking through Joe Taylor's, if you go into setup on any of his software, the last tab in setup is frequencies. And you can go through there and you can look at all the frequencies that all the different modes are set to. And you could actually change them right there if you want to. None of them go down there. None of his modes go down there. And I think the one you're talking about is one of his modes. And then if you go looking for PSK, you'll find PSK transmits down there. But it's not by itself. Something else is transmitting down there, too. And I tried to decode it, and I couldn't decode it. So I was figuring you probably knew what it was.
Oh, wow. Hey, JSA's on 14-7A, and go ahead, other station.
I didn't mean to interrupt your cue, so just kind of curious, N4YR, where is this repeater located?
This repeater's on Caesar's Head at the North Carolina-South Carolina state line, about 2 miles south of the intersection of the state line and Highway 276.
Sir, thank you very much. I was just curious. I'm from Fancy Gap, Virginia, November 4, Yankee Romeo. And we just put up a new repeater down here in Greenville up on Paris Mountain. Just want to let everybody know it's a 6-meter FM repeater. If anybody has any 6-meter gear, they certainly welcome to use it. It's 53.630, down 1 meg at 52.630 with a PL tone of 100. And just if you would, gentlemen, I'd appreciate it if you passed the word. Everybody's welcome to use it there.
I'm typing while you're talking. 53.6300 to 52.6300 with a PL of 100. Is that correct?
Absolutely, that's correct. Yeah, the output of the repeater is 53.630. And the input of the repeater is 52, down 1 meg, 52.630, with a PO tone of 100. And it's been on the air now. It is a coordinated repeater on Paris Mountain. And it's been on the air now approximately about a week. QSL?
QSL, and that is frequency modulated, right? FM?
It's FM mode. And we brought it down and been working with the CIRA repeater journal and got it coordinated there for Paris Mountain. So if you gentlemen would pass the word, everybody's certainly welcome to use it. It's got some really good coverage. It does a pretty good job. So just wanted to extend the invite to come over and use it there, QSL.
QSL, and your call sign again was?
Yes, sir. My call sign is November 4, Yankee Romeo. November 4, Yankee Romeo. Name here is Jimmy, and I'm located out of Fancy Gap, Virginia.
All right, Jimmy, that's good info. I do appreciate you sharing that with us this morning. David, that might be one we can use to get across Paris Mountain.
I haven't tried again. I tried bringing it up maybe 2 weeks ago. He said he just put it up a week ago. So I'll give it another shot here. I have the capability. I got a vertical that I can try out with.
Is that antenna vertically polarized, Jimmy?
Yeah, it's a omnidirectional antenna that's on the repeater. It's a GE Master 2 repeater. We used to have this repeater up on Mount Mitchell for about 26 years. Not this in particular repeater, but the frequency was coordinated for Mount Mitchell. I had it up there for 26 years. And then we moved it off of Mount Mitchell, and it's been off the air now for quite a few years. But we went back and put a new controller and updated the repeater. So, yes, sir, it is. It's got some good coverage. I was working the remission. I was working it yesterday, coming down Saluda Mountain, all the way into Lyman, South Carolina, and all the way across Highway 14. So it's got a good footprint, a really good footprint there. And like I said, you gentlemen, certainly welcome to use it.
Well, we do appreciate it, Jimmy. I'll try that. I don't know if I've got an antenna on a radio. I think I've got an antenna that will do that, and I've got a radio that will do that. But I don't know if I have an antenna on a radio that will do that. So I'm going to have to look. But do appreciate it. Appreciate you letting us know as well.
Yeah, 6 meters is really you can build a J-pole for practically you know, very low cost. You can go down to Lowe's and pick up some tubing and build a J-pole. 6 meters is really we call it the magic band, and it's definitely the magic band. It's about time for the sporadic E start rolling. And you can hear stations all the way out west to California, to Texas, to Arizona. So normally sporadic E comes in about April, the 1st of April, all the way through. I have seen it stay in as long as August, in September. But anyway, gentlemen, I'll let you by with the QSO. And we certainly appreciate it. So 73s, and have yourself a wonderful, wonderful morning. And we just wanted to pass that information on. So have a great day. N4, YR clear.
All right, Jimmy. And again, we do appreciate you dropping by and letting us know that. that's good info. Go ahead, David.
Pop right over to that frequency and try it again there. I have the radio hooked up. It's 6400 that I have hooked up right now. My hex bane, have you seen the hex bane yet? That's on the way in. They'll be here next week.
Is it one like Ariel sells? Have you seen his?
I didn't know he was selling the hex bane.
Yeah, he's the master of the hex bane. He's got that thing mastered. He developed his own, and it's high quality. It's really high quality. I don't know how much it sells for. But you might want to look at it. He might even have it on a website to look at it. But he's really good at setting that up and taking it down. It's really lightweight. I think it has carbon fiber. I could be wrong on this, but I'm thinking it has carbon fiber spars, you know, that form the inverted part of the umbrella. But you might want to look at it. He's got it figured out. At a bunch of the field days, he would have it mounted to a thing that plugs into your Reese hitch, and it'd be going, and he'd be just sitting on a bench outside the back of the car, and that thing would be going up from the back of the truck up to on a pole like 10 or 15 feet high, and he'd be making contacts all over the world on that L-Craft K3.
YQK. Yeah, I have to check that out there and see what that looks like. I got the Buddy Hex with the MaxWorks tripod mast there. The mast actually rotates in the center of the tripod with a little handle.
Yeah, because that's how you get direction on one of those hex beams, right? It's got an open side on each one of the bands that comes down the upside down umbrella, and you rotate it around to get the best direction, right?
Open side is the direction for the hex bane.
I might try one of those out one day now that I have so much free time since I'm retired. I don't have near the free time I had when I was working.
Prices should start coming down. I believe they're going to start coming down again.
That's good. Now, if I can get Amy through this last 6 years that she's retired so that we can both take off and take the dog with us. I don't know about the cat. I don't know what the cat would do, but that would be a lot of fun.
In full power for short.
Go ahead.
So, I just wanted to mention to you on that 6-meter repeater up on Paris Mountain, I will be linking it with another repeater of mine up in North Carolina. It's the other repeater is 53.250, and it's located northwest of Charlotte, North Carolina. And I will be linking it from time to time. Hopefully, we can maybe start a trader's net or get some get a rag chew net. And but we will be linking it with my other 6-meter repeater. North of Charlotte, it's actually Statesville, North Carolina. Between Statesville and Winston-Salem, North Carolina, I have a 6-meter repeater there, and it's up at around 2,000 feet level on the tower. So anyway, just thought I'd pass that on to you. Hopefully we can, I've got everything coordinated, so hopefully we can get that done and give a lot of people in this area a lot of coverage here at QSL.
Absolutely. Is that going to be an RF link, or are you going through the internet for that linking?
It's going to be. It's not going to be through the internet. It's going to be a UHF link, RF link that's going to go from link the 2 6-meter repeaters through UHF 440 frequency linking frequencies, and it'll be direct linked there. QSL.
Well, that is impressive that you can go that far. That's good. Can't wait to hear that working.
This one. Okay, well, yeah, I tell you, I've been billing repeaters now for about 40 years, I guess, 35, 40 years, and it works quite well. We've had it linked all up in Virginia. We've had it linked different places, and the 6-meter repeater down in up in North Carolina, it's located pretty close to 2,000 feet of elevation above sea level, and I don't think we'd have any problem. The Lincoln UHF frequencies should be full quieting, so that shouldn't be a problem. Well, gentlemen, let me jump back out of here. We got some chores to do here, but appreciate your time. Appreciate you letting me get in, and I'm assuming this is a club repeater, and I appreciate the folks letting me get on here and chit-chat with you. So 73s, and but anyway, just listen out on 53.630, and when we get the link up, you guys can jump over and have some fun with it. Enjoyed it. N4YR Mobile, clear after your final, sir.
All right, Jimmy, we'll look for that. We'll look that up. I'll try to get something set up that can do. I used to have one. I used to have a setup that would work on that, but it's been a while. But we'll look forward to getting that up and trying that out. Take care. Appreciate you sharing that information with us this morning. W4DJW. Go ahead, David.
AJ4YQK. And talking about North Carolina there, they got the Ham Fest coming up, I believe, up there in outside of Charlotte.
Is that today or is that next Saturday?
Take a look. I got some conflicting stuff on the weekend. Now, hopefully it's not today because I missed it if it is today.
I'm pulling it up now, and it's a Friday, March the 10th, so you haven't missed it yet.
I'm going to drive up there for that.
Friday, March the 10th from 3 p.m. to 7. Saturday, March the 11th from 8:30 to 4. It's at the Caribous Arena and Event Center, Gold Hall. So, yeah, you haven't missed it. It's next Friday and Saturday, not Sunday.
To remind why that's coming up now, is that one where we go to Dalton, Georgia? I've never been to the Dalton, Georgia one. How is that one?
Seems like I went to that one time is all, and I don't remember. That's been so long ago. Seems like Steve and I went to that one once just to see what it was all about.
Checking on that again. My office is down there, my other office. there. Now, I'm walking across the, remember the property next door where we hung one side of the antenna? I'm going to move that antenna onto that property now since I own it.
I thought that was going to be in the middle of the property. You going to move it to one side now?
On the big pine, and that's one end of that antenna support. So I might just move that one leg over to one of the yokes over here on this property.
Okay. Well, that will be interesting. Let me know if you need any help. If you want to have an antenna hanging party.
Telephone pole left over here, too, for an antenna. Maybe I can put a hex beam up there.
That's what I was thinking about. There's already a big telephone pole over there.
So debating about taking it down or keeping it. I'm not sure which way I'm going yet because I want to put a RV port over here to be able to pull through when I come back from road trips.
Well, that'll make it easy. So you don't have any idea what that digital mode is that's down there below all of the FT8s and 4s and JT65s and 9s?
JSA. Now, I know 20 meters JSA is located on 14.078, and 40 meters is 7.078.
And is it a free-form protocol, meaning it's not fixed to a time? Like, I was watching it trying to figure out what it was, and I saw that there's transmits that happen on the first quarter of the minute and the third quarter of the minute. And then on the second and fourth quarter of the minute, they're silent. And the other two, the other stations are transmitting during that time. So it's kind of like on for 7.5 seconds, off for 7.5 seconds. You know, and there's two phases going on. Very similar to FT4. Are you familiar with FT4?
ISA is, I want to say JSA is like FT8, but it might be... similar to FT4. I have to take a look at it. I know the JSA came from the FT series.
Well, if you ever get some time just to piddle around with it and see if you can figure out what that is, go down there to look at it. And it's not always on. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes you'll see all the FT8 traffic and there's nothing down there. And then other times you'll see a whole bunch of FT8 traffic and you look down, and I'm looking at the waterfall, and you look down the waterfall and there they are. And there's bunches of them, right? So it's very popular. So anyway, if you can figure out that what that is, I would appreciate it.
Look there and see what you said below the FT4 and FT8.
W4DJW. And the Dalton Hamfest is always the fourth Saturday in February. Dalton Amateur Radio Club Hamfest is always the fourth Saturday in February, so I think you missed that one already.
That's what happens when you get to work. February was a busy month.
Yep, that was my excuse when I was working. Now I don't have an excuse. Anyway, I got to let you go. I got to get in there and get on the elliptical. I have a daily routine that I have to do, and if I sit here too long, time will fly and I'll get busy with other things and then I won't do it. And then I feel bad all day. So I got to run in there. But it's good to hear you on the radio again. Hope to see you maybe at one of those ham fests or at an antenna hanging party.
He walks me every day, 3 times a day, a mile on each trip. I'll say 23. KJ4, YQK will be clear.
See you later. W4DJW clear.